Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ko Speak Up Kōrero Te Tene Kusale Carlton Aho. Ko Outdoor Education Te Kupapa o Te Rā Nei. We're going to be talking about outdoor education today. The impetus behind this show was a recent change in government policy around restructuring senior school pathways and changes to the NCEA, National Certificate of Educational Achievement. And so I thought that this might be a really good time to think about what is outdoor education and why has it been part of our senior curriculum before and what these changes might mean. But I guess beyond all of that, why is it important? Why are you all passionate about it? And why do we want to keep seeing it as part of our school journey, however that might look? There is a pretty big panel today. We've got five guests taking part in the show. It would be really great to hear from you all a little bit about yourselves. What is it you do and why are you taking part in today's kōrero? Fiona, you helped pull it all together, so how about we kick off with you?
Kia ora. So I'm Fiona McDonald and I run Education Outdoors New Zealand. We're the subject association for outdoor education as well as education outside the classroom. So cornerstone of all of the work we do is around outdoor education and supporting schools and teachers. So yeah, really involved in protecting outdoor education as much as we can through this process.
And could you tell us a wee bit about your organisation, please?
So we are a subject association. So that's a not-for-profit organisation, primarily of teachers for teachers. And so we provide resources and professional development for teachers, both supporting outdoor education as a subject. And also we have a special role that other subject associations don't have in the education outside the classroom space around safety management. So anytime teachers take kids outside of the classroom, regardless of what curriculum area it is, we support that with a framework of keeping kids safe. But for this conversation, it's the curriculum piece we do around supporting outdoor education. That is the piece of work to talk about today.
Thank you so much, Fiona. That's great. And we've got two participants of high school outdoor education. Jessie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yep. Kia ora, I'm Jessie. I'm a year 13, well, just finished year 13 student at Western High School on the west coast of the South Island. And I have been in our outdoor education course for 5 years through Western High School. Yeah, taking part in this, I guess, to give a little bit of a student perspective with Dela.
Thanks so much, Andela.
Hi, my name is Dela. I'm a year 10 at Hawarden High School. Just like Jessica said, I'm here to be a student voice, sharing experiences that I've had. I've always been passionate about the outdoors. My mum used to run this thing called Nature Play, so that definitely influenced my love for being outdoors. And yeah, it was my first time taking part in outdoor ed as a subject this year, so I have lots of cool experiences to share with you all today.
How cool, super exciting. Okay, Mark from Whenua Iti.
Hold on. Ko Mark Bruce Miller aho, ko te kairahi o te kaupapa o Whenua Iti Outdoors. Kia ora everyone, my name's Mark. I have the pleasure of leading an organisation called Whenua Iti Outdoors. We're based just outside Motueka in Te Tauihu. We live to the vision, experiential learning, inspiring positive change. And we recognise and do all we can to push the importance of connecting our younger generations to the natural environments that we are surrounded by for the purposes of them caring for those environments, them being connected to those environments, but also knowing that it is inherently healthy for us to be better connected to the natural environment than we sometimes are in modern world. So we work with about 5,000 rangatahi and tamariki every year, a team of 35 of us. And we're here today because of what I just said. We believe in the power and importance of our younger generations being connected to Taiao. And there is a risk within the current proposal that that may be lessened or opportunity may be lessened. Just makes no sense to us. So looking forward to this discussion.
Thanks so much. And finally, we've got Phil, who's going to be bringing a high school teacher perspective.
Kia ora. My name is Phil Washburn. I'm a teacher of outdoor education. I really value the opportunity to take our rangatahi into the outdoors, which is an experience a lot of them are not getting through their home lives at the moment. So I really value the opportunity to take kids places they wouldn't otherwise have been and give them experiences that will hopefully keep them engaged with the outdoors. A big part of our focus is looking at how we can give back. So not just going in and enjoying the outdoors, but also doing our part to maintain and sustain them.
I think already we can see there are lots of different perspectives, but also lots of different synergies from what you're bringing to this kōrero today. Just as we kick off, I think something that would be quite useful, certainly for me anyway, as someone who's quite new to this curriculum idea of outdoor education. How do we think about defining outdoor education, and particularly in, I guess, comparison to other ideas like education outside the classroom? So, a very broad question to kick us off.
I can take that one to start with, team. Education outside the classroom is when any teacher takes a student outside of the classroom for whatever learning experience it is. So you would hope there'd be education outside the classroom for an English class and a maths class, the trip to the beach for geography, off to the library for languages, anytime they go outside the classroom, across all years of schooling. And then compared to outdoor education, that's a subject that sits within the phys ed and health and learning area. So the curriculum's divided up into learning areas. Outdoor education sits within health and phys ed, and it has a distinct body of knowledge, so content. And things you learn about and put into action. Like English has a curriculum, outdoor education has a curriculum, whereas EOTC is anytime you step outside the classroom.
And with these proposed changes, could someone just run us through quickly what it currently looks like and what it might look like down the line?
At present, outdoor education sits within physical education, and different schools treat it in different ways. So, a lot of schools will use unit standards and achievement standards to provide an assessment framework. At the moment, we don't have unit standards that are specifically designed for outdoor education. So, we tend to borrow them from places like PE. But also, until recently, we've had education for sustainability. I've used science standards in the past, geography standards. And that's because outdoor education hasn't been recognised terribly officially within the curriculum, except as a key area of learning within PE. Under the previous review of education, the Ministry of Education recognised outdoor education, and we're in the process of developing achievement standards specifically for outdoor education. But under the most recent changes, these have been put on the shelf, put on hold, and that effectively means they won't be used. Now, the changes in NCEA that the current government is talking about mean a move away from achievement standards and a move to an entirely different way of assessing and with a different way of grading. And they've produced a list of subjects that will fit within their framework. Within that, there are general school subjects which will be designed, managed, resourced by the Ministry of Education. And there are also vocational subjects. And the vocational subjects will be designed, resourced, and assessed through industry skills bodies, which are currently associated with trades and other areas which have other forms of assessment. It's very unclear just how this meshes together. We're not quite sure what this will look like in the end. And the body that will be designing outdoor education vocational assessment doesn't exist yet. So there's quite a bit of concern about what this will look like. And it certainly means that outdoor education, which currently sits as something that teachers have got a fair bit of flexibility about what they can use in terms of their assessment and their focus, it's going to be a very narrow focus, much more considerably narrowed focus. And it won't be resourced through the Ministry of Education, which other subjects like maths, English, science, geography will be. And that means it's not going to be a subject that has the broad appeal that the current one does. It's going to be focused on a work pathway, vocational education, rather than sort of general education. And I think those of us who have been teaching outdoor education for a while see a massive potential for loss of the variety of activities we do, being able to put things in place that suit our students and our school environments, our school communities. We just don't know yet how this is going to work. And we can see a lot of students who currently do outdoor education not doing it in the future because of that.
Just to add on to Phil's comments there, the changes mean that outdoor ed will exist as a vocational subject at year 12 and 13, but is missing completely from year 11. So we see that as a massive loss and risk as well, and kind of a break in the pathway for outdoor education. And there's over 3,000 students a year do Year 11 outdoor education, so it's a real loss of choice for those students.
Does that mean that students will have to decide that they're going to take a particular pathway, outdoor education, vocational pathway, and cannot do ed outdoor education for fun, so to speak?
At year 11, it won't exist as a subject. It's not on the subject list. There won't be an outdoor education as a subject choice at year 11. At year 12 and 13, in the new plan going forward for the new qualification framework, vocational subjects will slot in to the framework. So you'll be able to do three vocational subjects and two general curriculum subjects, and they'll all count towards the qualification. Looks like you might be able to do six subjects, so outdoor education could be your sixth subject. But what we've seen in the past is that students don't want to risk a subject. They'd rather do all six and then know that they can take their best five to count towards the university entrance. And vocational subjects won't have a university entrance, whatever, I'm not quite sure what the right word is. They won't count for university entrance.
Yeah, I know, like for me personally, I would absolutely love to take outdoor education in as a year 11 subject. At my school, there's often like 80 plus students who select outdoor ed to take as a subject. At my school, it's the third most popular option. Due to staffing and transport restrictions, we only have two classes per year, I think. So there's not a lot of spots. For example, next year, I wanted to take outdoor ed as a subject, and so I put it as my first option. And often my teachers were saying, if you don't pick outdoor education as your first subject, like your most wanted subject, you most likely won't get in because there's just not enough spaces at my school.
Yeah, and it's worth understanding schools do things differently. So we take all the students who apply, but we can't currently run a Year 11 program because we don't have the teachers to teach it. And these are issues of resourcing. And at the moment, outdoor education is really, it's up to the schools how they resource it. There's not much direction from the ministry to resource it. And we were hoping that we would make this general subject list with all these other subjects so that ministry support would be there and it would be recognised. But at the moment, what we're looking at is if it switches to a vocational course, it's not just going to be that it's going to be more difficult to run those courses in terms of the numbers that want to do it. It's very likely to be a lot more expensive because the industry skills bodies are going to want to cover their costs of designing and running the assessments. And the schools will have to pass that on. And they're likely to have fairly high standards as far as the personnel in front of the students are going to be. So schools are going to have to upskill their teachers. If they can't provide skilled teachers, then they're going to have to contract in external contractors. So in some ways, organisations like Whenuiti and Mark's crew could benefit from this, but at the same time, it's going to put a lot of pressure on schools to be able to fund and resource these courses. And it may mean that some students who cannot afford it don't do outdoor education, which would be another huge loss, I'm sure.
I've been discussing what subjects I'd like to pick next year with my friend group, and a lot of them were saying because of the cost of the subject, they won't take it. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's really common.
We've been asked that question a lot because there is an argument to say that, as Phil says, organisations like ours could stand to benefit from this by the subject becoming outsourced. But that's really not in the greater good at all, because it's just going to make it all the more hard to get, all the more elitist, probably all the more expensive, as Phil points out. And that's not what we want. Ideally, in a country like Aotearoa, we're connecting as many of our young people strongly to the outdoors as we can. The proposals certainly don't point towards that happening.
I guess this seems a good time to think about then, why do we want our tamariki and our rangatahi to be getting out into the outdoors? Jesse, we haven't heard from you yet. Have you got some experiences that you'd like to share with us?
Well, we could talk about this all day probably, but at our school, outdoor ed is a very full course. But everybody does get a go at it. But just like the chances on the trips that you get, like walking around school every day, we're hearing people speaking about their trips and remembering the memories that they've made on those trips. So, it just creates a space for the people who might not get opportunities outside of school, like Phil was saying, to give them a chance in school. And oh, there's just so many benefits of outdoor education. Could speak all day. But especially for senior students, when you're having big assessments and things, it gives a lot of students a chance to go into the outdoors and reconnect with nature and stop looking at screens and learn other things.
Jesse, you mentioned screens. We are device-free as an organisation on all of our programmes, as most outdoor education programmes are. See the enormous benefit that can bring to a young person whose life is typically dominated by screen time. We are globally in the midst of a mental health crisis that we don't yet fully understand, and particularly in New Zealand, we're surrounded by the natural antidote to that, which is just to get outside. In the space of just the last decade, we've seen huge changes in the incidence of reported mental health concerns, particularly with young people. There's no hiding the fact that that does correlate with the rollout of smartphones and digital devices and supposedly increased tech connectivity that's actually driving disconnectivity, I believe, if that's a word, disconnection. Get outdoors is the message that we're pushing all the time. Leave the devices behind, feel the grass under your feet, listen to where you are, talk to your friends face to face around the campfire, and create those meaningful and memorable connections that keep us healthy.
What Mark represented there is just the broad range of experiences that people have outdoors. And it's interesting, you know, Jesse, your comment around the chats, around the stories from these trips. And what we find is, while as teachers, we've got a series of things that we want to see the students do on trips so that we can check them off for their assessments. And there's an element to which we've got a teacher's mind about these trips, trying to make sure that we can give them some grades at the end of it. There's a whole lot of stuff that happens around the edges of that. And so much of the benefit of the subject is beyond the knowledge that we'd like to think it's a knowledge rich subject in itself, but there are so many other elements to the experiences that kids get. And often it's you know, whatever I provide as an experience as a teacher, the students come out with whatever they can out of it. And some of that is in relationships, the way they work with each other. Some of them, it is that taking a breath of fresh air, you know, taking in the scenes, taking in the outdoors, the experience of being there. But it's very hard to say what one thing outdoor education does for people, because it really takes the individual where they are, and they take what they have from it. So I think for me, I would like to think that we're trying to connect with the non-human, you know, the things that are beyond us. We live in these built environments that are very man-shaped, and when we get into the outdoors, we have to acknowledge something else, you know, this place that gets on by without us, that does its own thing. And, you know, we have to learn to live with it. And I think that's a really cool relationship in itself, just learning to be in this wild place. I think we do too much of that. We do too much talking about nature and the wilderness. It's another part of the world we live in. And I think the great thing about outdoor ed is it exposes you to it, and people are less and less being exposed to it. So I think it's such a good opportunity just to do that.
Interesting, through the petition process that we went through and submissions, lots and lots of people, both host outdoor ed students, but also current outdoor ed students, shared stories with us. Lots and lots of different stories, but there's some kind of some common themes through a lot of them, which were the kind of increase in confidence and willingness to put themselves out there and take a risk and build relationships and kind of opening their eyes to the possibilities, different career paths that existed, but also just, you know, confidence to make relationships and to transfer that learning that they've had out into tying into other aspects of their lives. That's so critical. And we heard from lots of people that have, you know, said that outdoor ed had changed their whole life pathway, careers and opportunities they might take, but also about that connection to nature and mental health aspects of being out there and forming really strong and different relationships with both their peers and the teachers that are taking them out there for those experiences.
Yeah, can I just add to that a little bit? Like Phil and Fiona were saying, a few students through our program that I've seen, we've seen some that have taken outdoor ed as a space to learn, to step back and allow others to share their ideas in so many situations. And then we've also had students who I've seen build incredible amounts of confidence and leadership that have gone on to now being some of the West Coast's best young stage performers. And they learnt that confidence and that challenging themselves through the outdoors and through an outdoor program. And like they're comfortable speaking on stage now that they used to refuse to do. And yeah, some of them have gone on to study outdoor ed as well, which is pretty cool, outside of school. Yeah.
Phil, you mentioned there around the relationships that can be built within the peers and within the taiao, but also with teachers. And I wonder about the mentorship element of taking students to the outdoors and doing some of these activities that really challenge them.
It's a unique role as a teacher taking the students out. And look, I'll be the first to say that not everybody wants to get to know me outdoors. You are not there as a teacher to make friends with the kids, but you do after, especially the students who stay in your program. So those who do multiple years, you develop really strong relationships with. I think your relationships is a key part of being in the outdoors. It's just inherently a social thing to do. I spend a lot of my own time on my own outdoors, but I really look forward to spending time with the students in the outdoors. It's what keeps me doing this job, which is a lot of hard work. You know, we put in a lot of hours that the kids don't see. There's nothing better than to have that appreciation given back at the end of a trip. But, you know, I love seeing the way that the kids work together and build these relationships. And I think the best examples of that are where they look after one another and they get that mate of theirs through. And, you know, I was having that very conversation with somebody today, sharing a story about a student who really was reluctant to come on a trip, but wanted to give up in the first sort of first half hour of a 3 day tramp. And their crew got him through. And at the end of it, he was a leader. He was actually making a real difference to his group, you know, getting them up and moving them. And those sort of transformations are kind of, you don't take those for granted. They're not something that you kind of can or can construct, but they happen, and they happen a lot. The sense of relationship that you get, like I said, I don't think it happens the same for every person, and it can be interpersonal relationships. It can be, you know, figuring yourself out, figuring out how you tick, and you know, that's kind of a relationship that nobody else sees, but I think it's very much a part of the experience as well.
Yeah, I'd like to share an experience I had that kind of goes off what you were saying, Phil. I was on my outdoor ed trip. We were going to Lake Linden. We were driving the vans in the snow, and our vans got stuck in the snow. So we had to walk the rest of the way there through the snow with our luggage and everything. And so obviously there were some kids who felt a little bit excited about that. Personally, I felt a bit excited about, walking to Lake Linden through the snow. But some kids didn't want to, but we all were responsible for our own bags. And the people that got there first, which were me and some of my other friends, got told to go back and help the others. So we went back, and I personally had an experience with a girl in my class. I hadn't really talked to her before, but I went back and I helped her carry her bags all the way, and I really like connected with her more and had really good chats while we were walking to the lodge. And yeah, I just connected with her a lot more, and she is also in one of my other subjects, and now every day I say hi to her and talk to her. If I hadn't gone back to help her carry her stuff to the lodge, I might not have made that relationship with her. And yeah, just as a result of that, it just made me as a person like see that helping others helps you connect with people more. And yeah, and I saw that as well with my other friends who went back to help others. They made new relationships. And yeah, just the whole adventure just really made me connect more with my classmates, some that, yeah, I had never talked to before. So yeah, just yeah, it really, yeah, helping others, I think that's my main point. Helping others really can helps you connect more with people.
Yeah, I think that's
Yeah.
one of the cool things about the outdoors is that it doesn't always go to plan. And often you are sort of trying to think of how you're going to adapt or pivot to some other choice. At the end of the day, what Della's talking about there are some of the values that are built through being outdoors, where, you know, you have to push yourself and sometimes you have to think outside of yourself to get your group through. And I think, you know, again, those are things that are inherent to that act of going outdoors. Very cool story, Della.
Those shared experiences are amazingly powerful. The other thing we hear a lot is around those skills transferring into workplaces and other opportunities, like the cooperation, the learning how to get on with other people, conflict resolution and self-management and building relationships and teamwork and how important those skills are across every aspect of people's lives. And I think that's a real value those shared experiences in the outdoors have for people going forward. And Mark can probably talk to that as an employer, that often it's those set of skills that make people really employable, and certainly or often vastly really good at self-managing and being successful, whereas you can teach them the technical skills when they arrive in a workplace, but those people skills are so valuable.
Yeah, totally agree. It's what we call them, the power skills, key employability skills that are very hard to teach in a classroom, but are inherently easier to work on in outdoor environments. And as Fiona says, the technical skills may get you the interview because you've got them on your CV, but it's those power skills that are going to get you the job because they're the ones that you can really exhibit during your interview. And what makes for great employees and great teammates is people you can get along with, you can trust, people who are confident, good in their teamwork, they're resilient, they're able to adapt to change. It's what we need.
How about in terms of awareness of the natural world? And I imagine there's all sorts of benefits that we're seeing when young people are actually connecting with nature and coming back, hopefully, with a much better understanding of how we should be interacting and treating Te Tai'o.
We heard and had organisations submitting on these changes from the likes of Fish and Game, the Federated Mountain Clubs, that kind of real volunteer space where they were really concerned about the future of volunteering and particularly in conservation. Students haven't had the opportunity in the schooling system to get out and get their hands dirty and do some conservation work through outdoor education, then they're less likely to engage with the outdoors, both recreationally but also in that kind of giving back piece of work. Jess, you've probably done some sustainability type predator work over in Westland.
We've done plenty of planting and a little bit of predator work with Zach.
So, Jesse, how does that change the way you feel about the outdoor spaces you go into? I mean, this is one of the challenges as a teacher. You'd love to think that going in and doing an activity like trapping or tree planting, some kids love it. They love being part of that and getting into it. But you're always wondering, am I just getting the kids to do work out here, which doesn't really resonate with them? They don't really feel that this is making a difference. On the other hand, I know some kids get into this and really, really enjoy it. So, I mean, what's your take on that? Does it help you feel like you're doing something and a bit more connected to the outdoors?
Yeah, I think absolutely. When we're seeing things locally, yeah, we'll be driving around on the weekends now and we can see work that we've done. For our last ever outdoor ed trip, we spent 2 days in Okarito and we did a walk around the 3 mile beach loop. And so, yeah, we spent a couple of hours in the very heavily looked after nature with fences at either end and things like that. And then spent a few hours with the Okarito kayaks who are very involved in the Predator Free Southwestern project. So I think absolutely as senior students, we enjoy it because we're starting to understand the real help and seeing it around us. Yeah.
I think that ties into, I guess, what I think this probably all underpins is that getting out into nature gives you an immense sense of belonging to place, and how that belonging to place can help us connect to ourselves, to others, and to whakapapa and to whenua. And personally, I think everything we want to be encouraging young people to do comes back to an understanding of belonging and place and feeling connected to that place that you're in.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Sally. I think it's pretty hard to care for a place if you don't have some relationship with it, some knowledge of it, and have spent some time in it. And you know, that makes a massive difference going forward. Think about how we treat a place and other people within that place.
Teenagers don't often see it because they are very interested in each other and how they're being seen by their peers. And, you know, I think those experiences we provide them, they're really good to look back on. At the time, I'm not sure they necessarily see it. You know, I know we've done wild and pine control with our year 10s for many years. And as we're doing a day walk, we cross a section that is, you know, always infested with pines. So we spend the afternoon pulling out those pines. And they don't see the benefit of that work, but we can see it over the decades. And, you know, some of the students who come back afterwards, so we've had a number of our students sort of cycle back into helping out with the courses. So students have gone on and trained and then come back with outdoor skills. And they notice it and they see kind of the benefits of those things. So I think in some ways there's a long-term vision here that even though the students themselves may not see it, they are building those relationships with each other. They've got the stories that they can go back to. But it's not until they've lived a bit of life that they suddenly realise just how useful some of those experiences were.
Yeah, I remember going on Year 9 camp and some of the older kids would come and help lead us along amongst the instructors. Being Year 9, I remember looking up to them and thinking, wow, they're so amazing. Look at them. They're only a few years older than us, and yet they're leading us, and they have all these amazing skills. Like this boy, he took us alongside the instructor co-steering. And, yeah, and he was sharing some experiences he had that he could remember from his Year 9 camp. And, yeah, and he was just amazing. Like, you could see that he had learned those skills. Yeah, and that he really enjoyed Year 9 camp, and yet he's, like, you know, taken outdoor ed for further subjects in further years. It's just a great way, I think, to give back almost. Like, he's, you know, he's come back to where he was when he was little, and now he's teaching the little kids. Yeah, I remember thinking, I really want to do that when I'm older. And definitely for me personally, I'm going to be taking outdoor ed for every single subject that I possibly can every single year. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to going to lead the Year 9s and then Year 9 camp. And so yeah, I think like how kind of you were saying, Phil, that sometimes I don't see the benefits, but I think I did as Year 9, looking up to these older instructors. Yeah, because I could definitely just see the amount of experience and the love that they had for the subject. So, yeah, I personally am very looking forward to going and working alongside the instructors to, yeah, help these Year 9s have an amazing and enjoyable time at the Year 9 camp.
Interesting. Now we've got, I think, working here, I was just doing a count up, four, maybe five instructors that attended programs here when they were at school. And one of them, he was pointing out to me last year the trees that he planted when he was here on the school camp. And then he went through outdoor ed at Montreca High School. He went on to train down in Christchurch, came back and worked at a few places, but worked here for a few years, and is now a teacher of outdoor education at Montreca High School again. So it's very cool connections that he's got that he definitely remembers from when he was on program here.
I think one of the challenges of outdoor ed is to try and not just for that to happen accidentally, but to try and build that into our programs. And we've tried very hard to do things that the students can recognize their work in later years. So we revisit the same places. We use a lot of the same areas over different year levels quite deliberately so that they can see these places as they grow. And by the time they finish their program, they really do feel a little bit connected to some of the areas that we go to. You know, they've got so many stories, so many things to look back on that they are inherently collected. And that idea that, you know, you've planted a tree, to see that tree in 5 years' time, it's a different tree. It shows you that you can make a difference, that you can do things and make a change. And I think that's a really important lesson. And it's something, unfortunately, not every outdoor program works towards. So, you know, it's something that I'd like to see if can eventually become a teaching subject in the general school, that we actually have that as a part of the program.
Sally, you were saying before about giving students like a sense of belonging, somewhere to connect to. And I think a wee bit of what Della was saying, a little bit of what Phil was saying, like, so we have outdoor ed from year 9 to 13, but each of my years in outdoor ed has been with a different crew because people come and go. And so still when I see those people, we can talk about that group, and we connected to that group, and some of us might move on to the next year and take it again and still be in Hokitika taking it, and so we can relate to that group as well. And so we connected with different groups each year, which went to different places, so we can connect to different places. So I think that definitely created a sense of belonging for some students who, yeah, we wouldn't normally connect with as well, but now we absolutely do.
How about in terms of particular groups of students who benefit in particular ways from outdoor education?
Yeah, I think I'd go back to that comment I made earlier that actually every individual brings a different thing. We've had a number of Filipino students. You know, it's been the biggest growth of a particular sort of cultural group in the school, and they love it. They really throw themselves into it. It's a quite a different experience for them, but it gives them, you know, they get a real feel for a place and a landscape they're not familiar with. We do get a number of students every year who are a bit like that. Of course, we've got the international students. We've got the German, Italian, and American exchange students that come and make use of our programs to see these places and to go and experience our natural environments. But I think this is the broad appeal of outdoor education. It appeals to all cultures and all groups and appeals to individuals differently. So I find it very hard to single out one particular group that particularly benefits from it. I think the individuals and then the people they're with are what make the experience.
I think one of the risks we see with the change to vocational subjects and the additional expense and expertise required of schools to deliver outdoor education is that schools with more resource will be able to continue on delivering outdoor education or providing outdoor education for their students, but a few schools will either narrow outdoor education or it will disappear from their schools altogether and they won't have the resources. And often those schools will be in areas where students haven't got as easy access to the outdoors, haven't got the ability to do it in their own time. And so outdoor education classes are their only option to get out into the outdoors. I worked with this school. Well, they live about 40 minutes away from the beach, but a bunch of their kids had never had the opportunity to go to the beach. So the only way they got that opportunity was through school. And so if school can't provide those outdoor education classes, then that opportunity is lost to those kids altogether.
Okay, I think we've done an excellent job of talking about why we want to see outdoor education thrive. If you kind of had your magic wand, what would you like to see happening?
I can kick off with that. So we would love to see outdoor education in the general curriculum area, so with curriculum developed by the Ministry of Education. So it could be the really rich subject it is now, incorporating all the Matauranga Māori and environmental knowledge that it does now in different areas. We'd love to see it maintain flexibility so that it met the vocational need as well as that general subject that prepares students for all sorts of careers and opportunities. And particularly in that Year 11 space, we really want to see an option in there for students to continue from Year 10 into that Year 11 space and have an outdoor education subject that really caters for student well-being and engagement in school, starts that connection with environmental aspects and with self-management and teamwork and leadership that outdoor education can provide for students.
For me, I would say it's around doing whatever we can to maintain equity of access. As Fiona mentioned earlier on, there are some schools, increasingly number of schools, who just cannot afford to get the kids in the van to take them outside. And the proposed changes are just going to be another step towards decreasing equity of access. And as I mentioned earlier, at a time in society when we arguably need it more and more and more. A magic wand would be nice. We haven't got that, but at least we could, if these proposals were thought of differently, have an opportunity to maintain as much opportunity as possible for young people to get outside and learn together in the outdoors, because we know it's what we need.
If I had a magic wand for this change, personally, from my experiences, I would love it to stay how it is. At our school, in our program, we're lucky to have quite a lot of flexibility. So we are unit standards, but for example, last year there wasn't enough snowfall for a mountaineering trip. So we took the term to learn about the Mahinga Kai assessment, which was a level three assessment, but we did it in level two, and that actually that was not something we expected to learn about. And we ended up spending time with our Te Reo unit at school. We ended up spending time with the local kaumātua. We ended up learning about our local waterways and like going floundering at night on a Saturday with our teacher and doing all of these wonderful things because we weren't able to go on a snow trip, but there was another assessment that we could fit into that term that we were really lucky enough to jump on and pick up, which, yeah, gave us a lot more local knowledge on our the kai around us and how it should be shared and, yeah, looked after.
Stella, anything you'd like to add?
Definitely, as Jessie said, just to keep it as it how it is. It really broke my heart when I heard that outdoor ed might not be a subject for me to even take in the 11s. Because yeah, I really enjoy it and I really like to keep doing it. Yeah, I see a lot every day, a lot of students connecting over the memories that they've made. For example, a lot of students in my whānau class just got back from an outdoor ed trip. They went tramping. A lot of time the teachers had to tell them to be quiet because they were, discussing so much over their amazing trip that they had. But it was really cool to hear and see. They even shared some photos with us during whānau time. And yeah, it just looked really cool and it was really nice to see the connections that they made with each other. And yeah, I just love it to see just as a subject that I can continue doing in my further years at school.
Yeah, and I'll round it out. I think what I'd love to see is what both Della and Jesse were talking about, where they're really rich experiences that are memorable, and that it's really, I mean, outdoor education is what, yeah, it's deep learning. You can't pick what students are going to take out of it, but there's often real depth to what they take out of these experiences. You can plan all you like as a teacher. You cannot force students to have deep learning about what you want them to, but almost certainly, you know, they're going to find something there which is a deep, lasting, abiding memory. And I think what we would love is a curriculum that allows us to do that, to provide those experiences. And most of our outdoor ed teachers are passionate about being in the outdoors because they've had those deep experiences. They know how powerful they are, and they know how beneficial they are for kids. And going back to, you know, Mark's talked a lot about how beneficial this is for people's well-being. Those experiences are really important, you know, to live life, to actually feel the experiences that we go through. They're things that you can hang the rest of your life on. I would really love to see a curriculum that allows us to do what we do, to provide broad, rich experiences, and not to box us in too much about what and how we do it. Because as Jesse reflected, you know, it doesn't have to be about going into the snow and doing adventure. There's an adventure in the local creek, you know, going out with a spotlight at night and trying to catch some fish. That's a pretty cool experience in my book. And it's all of what we enjoy about going outdoors. So yeah, I'd love an opportunity to have really rich learning experiences that our rangatahi can take with them into the world beyond.
And I think one thing we haven't yet touched on is that we're talking here about kind of the tail end of secondary school, but these experiences can actually start super young. They can start at preschool age and continue right the way through education. Well, I'd like to say tēnā koutou. Thank you very much, all of you. It's been so lovely and kind of inspiring to hear your kōrero and your reflections. And it's very easy to tell how passionate you all are about this, which is really lovely.
Hey, big ups to Della and Jesse. We actually love hearing from rangatahi people who've been there. You both spoke eloquently about your experiences. That's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys. And really nice to hear Della from another Ooh. Student.
Awesome work, you too.
Yeah, it does take some guts to do this. So well done, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I've really enjoyed this experience.
Nice to see you all.
Hey, thanks, Sally. Oh. We appreciate this going out over the airwaves. It's just one more Absolutely. Little piece in a wall we're trying to build to put this out there again.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, adults, yep. for trying to save our favourite subject.
Yes.
Any time, you two.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.